debt, and I'll give you tips on how to avoid employee fraud. It's Thursday, October 31st, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out. Well, good afternoon, everybody, on this Halloween, October 31st, 2019. My name is Jim Gano. This program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we currently check the markets, or the weather, and it's currently 68 degrees at 12:05. And today on Halloween, it'll have a rain all day, dampening the trick-or-treaters' fun and excitement this afternoon. A high of 71, a low of 42. For tomorrow, it'll be sunny throughout the day, a high of 52 and a low of 32. And for Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 55 degrees and a low of 34. For Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high of 52 and a low of 29. And a current check of the financial market shows that most indices are down right now. The Dow is down 178.91 to 27,007.78. The NASDAQ down 15.16 to 8288.81. The S&P 500 is down 13.54 to 3,033.23. Oil is down $1.07 to $53.99 per barrel, and gold up $16.70 to $1,513.20 an ounce. All right. Well, again, welcome to the program. It is Taking Care of Business. It's Thursday, a little after noon o'clock. So glad you could be joining me this week. Next week, I don't think we're getting together because that is the day of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Expo. It's the Restaurant Showcase and Business Expo. And I'll be there with a booth. So if you want to come see me, I'll be there showing off what we do at Crown Trophy of Flemington, talking to people about what's happening there and what we're doing moving forward. So hopefully you'll join us there. Looking forward to seeing everybody again. I missed last year's expo. And what I like about the expo is that it's an opportunity for you to probably see close to 150 businesses from Hunterdon County and around the area, all under one roof, all within the span of a few hours. I think it runs from 2 to 7 p.m., and so make sure you get out there and join us and get to see as many businesses as you can, whether you're currently doing business with them or not. When else? I always say this to people. If you were to try to see 150 businesses from around Hunterdon County, it would probably take you close to 3 weeks to get to all of them. Here you have the opportunity to do it all in one day. So make sure you join us next week at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Restaurant Showcase and Business Expo. If you're listening right now, chances are you have a browser open. We'd ask you to open up one more on your computer, telephone or cell phone or iPad or whatever you're listening to the program on. And go to Facebook.com and then search the program, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and like and follow that page so that you can get updates midweek on anything that's affecting business. Sometimes it's interest rates are changing. Sometimes if there's something happening that may affect the stock market, we'll put that there as well. So anything that's affecting business, chances are between programs, that's where you're going to find it first. The business quote of the week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. It comes to us from Steve Jobs, and I always pick either celebrities, business people, sports figures, or anybody. It could be a religious leader that has some kind of a quote that I think is applicable to business. And Steve Jobs, obviously from Apple, had a lot of good quotes, but this one really got to me. It said, "If you are working on something that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you." And I always ask the question after I read the quote of the day, how does that apply to you? Does that apply to you? Can you see that quote in your activities every day? So if you're working on something that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you. We've talked several times on the program about when you have to motivate yourself to get to work. When you have a project, and it may be a big project, a daunting project, and you're sitting there going, oh, I just don't want to start this. But if you care about it, you're going to do it. It's going to pull you in. It's going to make you do it. And so you don't have to be pushed. You don't have to be prodded. You don't have to be reminded 15 times. You'll find a way to get it done. And that's what Jobs Quote is all about there. If you're working on something that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you. I'll have to look it up during the break, but I know there's some rules pertaining to trick-or-treating tonight in Flemington. It is going to go on. It's just going to be limited to a couple of streets with the parade. So you're going to want to pay attention to that. And then, you know, a lot of people, I know on New Jersey 101.5 yesterday, there was a lot of talk about, you know, can Halloween be postponed to a better day, better weather, things like that. And yeah, it really can't because there's, you know, people have schedules and things, and so they can't really just say, okay, it's off this day and we're going to do it another day. So hopefully people will understand that. And the kids will still get out, and if they really want the candy, they'll get a little wet, but they're going to get their candy. And a couple of friends of mine were talking. We're in a fantasy football league together, and they're like, we went out, whether it was 10 degrees or whether it was 70 degrees, whether it was raining, snowing, it didn't matter. We went out and got it and, you know, collected our, as the one guy said, collected our booty of candy. So that's sometimes what you have to do. There's a new survey out that highlights a key consideration before you apply for your next job. I've touched on this several times on the program, but want to go over it with you again. Make sure that you're aware of just how different the job landscape has become. Now, there's a thing called reputation management. It sounds like a service that only a high-profile politician or a movie star actor would pay for, but even job applicants who aren't under the limelight should or maybe have to consider it. 7 in 10 employers check potential hires' social media presence, according to a Career Builder survey from last year. And of those, almost 3 in 5 employers found content that turned them off from a candidate altogether. Now, erasing your online footprint entirely isn't an ideal solution either. For job hunters, almost half of employers are less likely to schedule an interview with a candidate who doesn't have any presence online. Your online presence is now your resume. Patrick Ambron, the CEO of Brand Yourself, an online reputation management company with about 1 million clients, told Yahoo Finance, online screening is skyrocketing. Job seekers are coached on interview practices with Amazon during a career fair held in Vertiport, Chicago. And one of the things they were coached on was cleaning up your Facebook page, your Instagram page, and things like that. But what is reputation management? Well, it removes negative online search results about you. It can also help enhance your online visibility as a job candidate. The service typically includes social media cleanup, prioritizing positive Google search results, and protecting private information. Ambron started his New York-based company after Pete Kistler, his co-founder, had trouble getting an internship because he shared the same name with a drug dealer. Unfortunately, the dealer, rather Kistler himself, showed up at the top of the search results for his name. Kistler learned how to make results pertaining to him more search engine friendly so that they rise up and surpass the negative results. After months of effort, he buried the drug dealer's results off the first page. And that's just one reason that candidates decide to invest in their online presence, Ambron said. Some job hunters have been victims of online rumors, criticism, and even revenge porn, as we saw with the congresswoman the other night. Others simply use the service to improve their online presence and search results, potentially helping them get a job. Now, what does an online makeover include? Well, Brand Yourself, which serves clients on differing ages and job experience, offers several tiers of service. Its basic do-it-yourself online service, which includes a social media scan or improving search results, runs between $20 and $100. The company also offers a more personalized approach for more complicated issues like being a victim of revenge porn that starts at around $3,000 per year. Users can submit content they want employers to see, like specific social media posts or a portfolio website, and the company helps you make these results more search-friendly. The company also identifies content that employers could find problematic that you should remove from your social media immediately. The cost of a basic package at Reputation X, a company that caters to senior executives or entrepreneurs starting their own business, ranges from $3,000 to $8,000 a month, And it includes services like image analysis, reputation strategy, and positive content development. We know what Google likes, says Kent Campbell, the managing director of ReputationX, and what we'll do is post content that is really positive, and then we'll promote it in search results so that it rises. Campbell calls this genetically modified content, and it's used to suppress negative results. Some content is hard to be moved from the top page, such as an article from a major news outlet. This costs even more, up to $10,000 to $20,000 per month. The company also will try to remove content that includes false information or allegations from the search results altogether. ReputationX may even contact a publisher or journalist to get an article with incorrect information taken down. They're searching social media to verify in all aspects. Could an online makeover give you higher chances of landing the dream job than a killer resume and cover letter? Well, that depends. The resume, cover letter, and applicant's online presence are equally as important, said Tony Lee, a vice president at the Society of Human Resource Management and Association of HR Professionals. Employers may also use an online search to help root out any exaggerations or inconsistencies in your resume, which could ultimately cost you the job. But Lee discourages individuals to pay a firm to manage or clean up their online reputation. Instead, a candidate should present an honest, thorough overview of their skills and abilities. Otherwise, they're trying to hide something that employers likely will find out about anyway, he said. And job hunters will save the cost of the consulting firm. A negative online result is not necessarily the end of your candidacy either. Employers often give potential hires the chance to explain a problematic social media post or search result, Lee said. If the applicant has a reasonable explanation, the employer will likely overlook it. Companies are not searching social media looking to hire people, Lee said. They're searching social media to verify the backgrounds of people who they've already found. This started several years ago, and it's one of those areas that I really want people to pay attention to, because I have seen people who have come to me when I was a recruiter and saying, I don't understand why I'm not getting the job. And I would look at their social media, or I would become friends with them on Facebook and say, look, all the pictures in your photo feed are of you holding a red Solo cup. Your eyes are glazed over. There's one picture with you passed out on a couch where your friends have taken Sharpie. He goes, yeah, that was funny. I said, that's why you're not getting the job. You know, it may have been funny to you at that moment. It may be funny amongst your friends, but to a potential employer, you're now a liability. If you're passed out drunk on the couch and you're about to get a sales position and they're going to give you a company car, can they trust you? This is what we talk about when we say managing your online reputation, managing your social media presence. There is certainly ways to get around this. People have created fake name pages and they give that just to their friends so they can share the pictures, but keep your professional social media profile and your regular personal name profile to yourself, because you want to make sure that that's as clean as it can be. It's as positive as it can be. There may be some things that get in there that you really don't have control over, but you want to make sure that as best as you can, you'll be able to explain certain situations away. Just take the pictures of the backyard barbecue and the beer pong. Take those down. You can always print them and put them in a scrapbook. You just don't need to make it part of your online reputation. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away from a break. We got more coming up right after this.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all right, taking care of business and working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB. So glad you could be joining us on this wet and soggy Halloween day. So sorry that the kids are going to miss out or potentially miss out on some good trick-or-treating and getting all the candy. The good news is, kids, that if that happens, more than likely that means mom and dad have a little extra candy at the house, and maybe you can divide that up as well. I want to talk to you about saving and paying down debt. We've talked about this a lot on the program when we interviewed Mike Michalowicz, the author of Profit First, and how to set aside money for certain things. But a lot of people still, when they talk to me, even if they've introduced Profit First into their business or into their personal life, they'll say, I'm still not where I need to be. I have too much debt. I need to figure out a plan on how to bring that down. So how can you do that? And I have five tips on how you can balance your saving as and pay down debt at the same time. Now, you don't have to choose between paying off loans and building your savings. Make progress in both areas by devising and sticking to a financial plan that will inspire you to continue. Should you save or pay down debt? If you choose to save, and that includes investing for retirement, which, as we heard on the program a couple weeks ago, 42% of Americans have nothing saved for retirement, you'll be weighed down with debt for years. If you decide to pay down debt, will you ever be able to save enough? Now, you may wrestle with these issues, even to the point of feeling paralyzed that choosing the wrong path will lead to financial ruin. But relax. Pursuing more than one financial goal at a time is doable. Here are some tips to help balance saving and paying down debt. There are five ways to do it. I'll go into each in detail. They are: take care of the basics, commit to controlling variable expenses, focus on what motivates you, automate your finances, and decide what to do with your extra cash. So let's talk about taking care of the basics first. Start by creating a basic budget that covers your major financial obligations. This has to be everything. Rent, electric, heat, garbage, utilities, everything. Write them all out. What are your monthly expenses? And does your salary cover that? If it doesn't, you have a choice to make. You either go get a different job or you go get another job. So after you've calculated your major financial obligations, be sure to factor in minimum payments on any debt that you may have, including but not limited to student loans, car loans, credit card debt. And this should help make steady progress toward reducing your loan balances. At the same time, begin building an emergency fund so you'll have the cash you need to handle unexpected happenings in your life, such as job loss or bills relating to a family illness. Save an amount that fits your budget, even if it's just $25 a month. Keep adding to the balance until you have accumulated at least 3 to 6 months' worth of living expenses required for things such as groceries and rent. After establishing that fund, you can consider directing extra money either to debt payoff or long-term savings. You may also want to consider contributing enough to your 401k account to receive a full employer match if it's offered. This move could allow you to accelerate the growth of your retirement savings. The second step is to commit to controlling your variable expenses. Katie Brewer, who's a certified financial planner and president of Your Richest Life Planning in Dallas, Texas, recommends establishing firm limits for variable expenses or anything that is not a bill, a loan, or a payment. For example, dining out, gifts, and entertainment would fall under this category. So again, if you're going to have a variable expense, and that's going out to dinner, buying a sweater that you like, or something like that, fixed amount. And once that amount is gone, you're done. No more spending for that particular month. By controlling these costs, you may be able to free up additional funds for debt repayment, savings, or both. Brewer often recommends the following approach to her clients. Look at your current spending for variable expenses. Again, these are non-essential things you buy, such as movie tickets, restaurant meals, and toys for your nieces and nephews. Establish a reasonable monthly spending limit. This dollar amount will vary by person, but should be a goal that is attainable based on your buying habits. The number should give you flexibility to make purchases as desired, but not so much freedom that you'll spend excessively. You'll also want to set up a checking account and funnel variable expenses through this account. When the account balance is depleted, just stop spending. Alternatively, charge these expenses and nothing else on a specific credit card, then evaluate your spending and make adjustments until you consistently achieve your goal. Monitor expenses and modify spending to sync with established limits. There are many tools and apps available that can help you with this, including Mint, BillGuard, and Pocket Expense. I remember when I was emceeing the dinner the other night for Operation Jersey Cares, I told the story about I had asked members to tell me about the beginning, the history of Operation Jersey Cares, and one gentleman told the story about how they used to pack boxes until the bank account ran out of money. Then they had to stop, ship what they had, and then wait to raise more money so that they could continue the mission. That's what we're talking about here. On your variable expenses, let's say you budget $200 per month. Once you reach 200, don't go over, but then you have to stop. So if that happens in the first week, that means you're not going out to dinner for 3 more weeks. That means you're not buying the presents for nephews and nieces. Just stay within your budget. Focus on what motivates you is the third way that you can save money. Now, after you've taken care of the basics and have learned to control your spending, your next step can reflect personal preferences. Brewer encourages her clients to use the financial strategy that sparks momentum and is sustainable over time. For example, you may get more satisfaction from quickly eliminating a small loan with a relatively low interest rate as compared to slowly reducing a large credit card balance with a high interest rate, even if the latter may save you more money in interest. Alternatively, you could be inspired to aggressively grow your savings in retirement accounts. Take actions based on what motivates you to stay disciplined and make the most financial progress. And where you can automate your finances is the fourth step. As soon as you've decided to allocate your money, consider automating as much as possible. For example, you may be able to set up automatic payments on your student loans, direct deposits to your savings account, and contributions to your 401k plan. Through automation, you can avoid second-guessing your saving versus paying down debt decisions and the stress that often comes with continually analyzing your financial situation. And finally, decide what to do with your extra cash. During the year, you may earn or receive extra cash, whether from a side income, a year-end bonus, a large refund from the IRS, or a large holiday gift. Before this money lands in your hands, consider deciding where it will go. Will you make additional loan payments with any side income you earn? Have you decided to fund an IRA with any cash gifts you receive? Whatever course of action you choose, plan ahead for any windfalls. The bottom line is this. Sure, you may want to get rid of debt as quickly as possible, but by concentrating on debt payoff, you could save hundreds or even thousands of dollars in interest charges over the life of your loans. You could also improve your debt-to-income ratio, which might help your chances of qualifying for a car loan or home mortgage. But you could also benefit from building your savings and paying down debt at the same time. With this strategy, you should have cash available for unexpected expenses. In addition, you may be able to reduce your income tax liability by contributing to a 401k, an IRA, or continuing to deduct interest associated with your mortgage and student loans. And finally, by saving and investing now, you should be able to take advantage of compound interest over a longer period of time than if you were waiting until you were debt-free. You don't have to choose between paying off loans and building your savings. Make progress in both areas by devising and sticking to a financial plan that inspires you. So again, the five steps that we talked about in how to save money are simple, and they go like this. Take care of the basic expenses. Commit to controlling your variable expenses. Put a budget number, a ceiling on how much you're going to spend in excess, going out to dinner, going to the movies, things like that, every month. Focus on what motivates you. Automate your finances. Decide what to do if you end up with extra cash at any time during the year. Taking those steps is going to help you. It's going to give you the clarity, if you will, of knowing what you can do and seeing a payoff picture in your head. So let's say you have $10,000 in credit card debt, and you want to pay off $500 per month. $500 per month times 12 months, that's $6,000, which means that in 1 year, if you didn't spend anything else on that credit card, you just have a balance of somewhere around $4,000 plus whatever interest is accumulated. By 8-month mark of the following year, that credit card is paid off. if you come into extra cash, your choices are to pay down that debt completely or invest it in a 401k or something like that. There's many options out there. Once you create this game plan, the clarity it gives you is going to make your life a lot more stress-free. You'll be able to figure out which ones you want to tackle first. Whether it's just paying down minimum debts on credit cards and seeing that trickle down, understand you're probably going to spend more and go over that limit again. What I've told people to do is take one card, pull it out of your wallet, stick it in a drawer, stick it in a safe, pay it down. Now, let's say it's a $5,000 credit card. Now you have $5,000 in credit. You don't have to use it, but it's nice to know it's there. The next thing you do when that one's paid down, take another card out of your wallet and do the exact same thing. Still pay off whatever you owe on your minimums. But when you can take big chunks out, do it. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gannot, your host. Glad to be with you as we are every Thursday. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to avoid employee fraud and why my father used to say locks are for honest people. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. House has just passed a Democratic resolution which moves the impeachment inquiry into a new phase that will be highlighted by open hearings rather than behind closed door depositions. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing the final vote to pass the resolution 232-196. Republicans still say Democrats are leading an unfair process. The top Senate Democrat, Chuck Schumer, says
at least a dozen witnesses have testified in Congress as part of the House's impeachment inquiry. The facts that are already in the public record are troubling and require further investigation.
A top U.S. general says the U.S. is now on alert for retribution attacks after the death last weekend of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi in a U.S.-led military operation in Syria. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, with you every week at this time, except next week because we've got the expo. So make sure that you stop by Next Level Arena next Thursday for the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Restaurant Showcase and Business Expo. And then on November 12th, a very interesting evening. I'm looking forward to it. I've got my ticket already. An evening with Stedman Graham. Now, a lot of people know him only as Oprah Winfrey's boyfriend, but he's so much more than that. He is a business leader. He's written a best-selling book, and he will be giving a speech at Hunterdon Central High School, brought to you by the Chamber of Commerce. Tickets are still available, so make sure that you call 908-782-7115 to see how you can participate in that evening. I want to talk to you about employee fraud. And this is something that people are hesitant to talk about. They don't want to believe that their employees could be stealing from them, taking money from them, even something as simple as taking a ream of paper, a box of staples, paper clips, or something like that because their kids have a project. Locks are for honest people. At least that's what my dad used to say. In other words, he felt that under the right set of circumstances, nobody was immune to temptation. For example, he would argue that you lock your car to keep honest people from breaking in. Locks don't stop criminals. The same is true for a business owner taking actions to avoid employee fraud. Without trying to impugn anyone's integrity, over the almost 40 years of my career, I found his observation to be pretty valid. What's more, because we want to give people the benefit of the doubt, we don't often take the proper actions to avoid employee fraud. And when I think of this, I can't help but remember an experience several years ago in a small business I was a part of at the time. And without giving away too many details, we didn't have a sophisticated point-of-sale computer system. I was bringing that in to track our sales. We didn't even have a cash register. Like a lot of small businesses at the time, we worked out of a cash drawer with manually created receipts. We all had access to the cash drawer, and we all had the ability to create receipts for what was put in it. The owner of the business would collect the cash and credit card slips that were collected for the day to make his deposit. And this system was based upon our unquestioning trust in the people that took payments from our customers. And because of that trust, I don't think he reconciled all the receipts with the payments that he received every day. And make a long story short, one of the employees discovered that if she could convince any particular customer to pay in cash, she could destroy the receipt and pocket the money, and no one would be the wiser. It was over a year after she started doing this before anyone noticed anything out of the ordinary, but she had walked away with thousands of dollars in cash before she was caught. She was a senior member of the staff and an employee who had been with the company for several years when we had to let her go for stealing. There was no lock to stop this otherwise good person from succumbing to temptation. Our efforts to avoid employee fraud weren't enough, and as a result, we lost a good employee. I recently spoke with a fraud expert, Martha Dreiling, about her suggestions for avoiding employee fraud, and we talked about many different types of fraud that impact small businesses, including employee fraud, which is particularly distasteful, rather, to face. Every employer wants to have complete trust in their employees, she said, but sometimes any employee can sometimes get themselves into trouble. She suggests that employee fraud comes in several different forms and isn't restricted to dipping into the cash drawer. That comes from revenue skimming, payroll fraud, vendor billing fraud, fraudulent invoicing, expense reimbursement fraud. Over the course of my career, as an employee and a business owner, I've either witnessed or been the victim of some of what she's identified above. Even with point-of-sale systems, invoicing systems, and expense tracking software, if you aren't monitoring and spot-checking your employees, you are vulnerable. Now, with that in mind, she recommends the following 14 best practices to help you keep your honest employees honest and catch the other ones. It starts with hiring the right people. Of course, no hiring process is perfect, she says, but nevertheless, basic pre-employment background screening is a good business practice. She suggests that this is particularly true for any employee who would be handling cash, high-value merchandise, or have access to sensitive customer or financial data. The second point is to conduct routine and unscheduled audits. It just makes sense to be aware of what your employees are doing and to monitor their activities. Unscheduled audits of various accounting, cash handling, and inventory management related duties is considered a best practice. Making it unpredictable is the key. Third, don't have any one person handle all of the accounting processes. When you separate accounting processes between more than one person, it's less likely anyone will have the opportunity to take advantage of a weakness in your accounting process. Fourth, a mandatory vacation policy could be a fraud prevention tool. Sometimes employees that are committing fraud are reluctant to take time off because they're afraid they might be discovered while they're away. It's hard to cover your tracks when you're not there. On a personal note, I discovered a business partner had been revenue skimming while he was on vacation. So in banks, if you're a teller, typically they're going to make you take 2 weeks off sometime in the summer, and they're bringing in an audit team to review like the last year's worth of all of your deposits. So you're going to want to make sure that you have a mandatory period that will give you enough time to look over their activities. Don't share your personal credit cards. This probably goes without saying, but don't share your personal credit cards, account numbers, or personal banking account information with any of your employees. Reconcile and monitor business banking activity frequently. Now, although it can sometimes feel like a chore to a business owner who doesn't relish spending time in the books, Dreiling suggests reconcile and monitor business banking account activity frequently and regularly examine bank statements to detect any anomalies. Eighth, read the fine print. Always take the time to carefully review any document you are required to sign and never sign any incomplete or blank documents. You need a checklist for when employees leave. Doesn't matter if they are voluntarily or involuntarily leaving. There are some things you need to do, she says. Update signature cards for your business bank accounts, change online passwords, update computer system access, change any combinations to saves or filing cabinets, and make sure to collect any access control devices like key fobs, access cards, and keys. Make this part of the termination or exit interview process. 10th, keep your Secretary of State up to date. Don't forget to update your business records on file with the state where you do business when partnerships or officers in the corporation change. Review employee timesheets and expense reports. Now, unless your business is small enough that reviewing timesheets and expense reports is something you do yourself, make sure managers or supervisors review and approve timesheets and expense records before they are submitted for payment. You should also require receipts as part of the expense reimbursement process. Restrict access to payroll records. It's a best practice to control access to payroll systems, and changes to employee salaries should require review and approval, she said. Does the security camera make sense? Dryling suggested installing a security camera could make sense in areas where employees are dealing with cash, similar to a back room area. Employee dishonesty liability insurance is also something you may want to consider adding to your commercial coverage. Employee dishonesty liability insurance protects employers from financial loss due to the fraudulent activities of an employee or group of employees. The loss can be the result of employee theft of either money or property, she added. And whether or not this type of insurance makes sense to you is something you'll need to investigate with your insurance provider. Depending upon the nature of your business, some of these suggestions could feel like overkill, but you could be surprised at what you might find. As a younger man, I was surprised to learn that many businesses actually plan for shrinkage or the theft of merchandise by employees. Applying these best practices could likely help you and your business avoid the consequences of fraud perpetrated by employees. And taking actions to avoid employee fraud is much like using a lock to keep an honest person honest. So there's a whole lot of information in there with regards to employee theft, employee dishonesty. I don't want you to leave this program, listening to the show, saying, oh, my God, my employees are stealing from me. But I do want you to be aware of it. And sometimes you just notice little things. Like you buy a package of 10 notepads and, you know, 2 days later with three employees in the building, they're all gone. Where'd they go? You know, so that's the type of thing. You know, you buy 50 pens and all of a sudden, you know, 2 months later, they're all gone. Did we really write that many invoices by hand that were out of pens? These are the types of things I want you to be aware of. And if you ever suspect that the money isn't adding up, get with your accountant, have them do a forensic review, and find out where the money is going. All right, so I got a question from a listener last week that was kind of, I don't want to call it telling, but it was interesting in the way they worded it. They said, we've been in business for 10 years, and we just had our worst quarter ever. What can we do to bounce back from this? And I asked them a bunch of questions with regards to, were they open the entire quarter? Did they take an extended vacation? You know, there were a lot of people taking vacations this year that might not have taken them before. Did the weather possibly have an impact on their business? There's a lot of reasons why your sales can slump, particularly in the summer months. Now, most business founders understand the grow or die mantra and work tirelessly to make sure that the current month is doing better than the previous month, and that the same goes for quarter over quarter growth and year over year growth. The need to grow and thrive is keenly understood by those who run small businesses, and nobody likes the idea of watching sales or revenue slump. Nevertheless, saying that and working toward the goal of consistent growth and improvement is no guarantee a business will see subsequent growth every quarter. And although it's critically important to regularly be mindful and aware of the numbers, what they are really providing you is a monthly, quarterly, or annual report card to help you make decisions today that will positively impact your business tomorrow. Additionally, it's important to balance long-term goals with short-term results. In other words, a less-than-perfect quarter doesn't necessarily spell disaster for your business, provided you take advantage of the learning opportunity. When I was in the recruiting business, if I made a placement today, it wasn't because of what I did that morning. It's what I did 6 to 8 weeks earlier. Same thing when you have a bad quarter. It just doesn't happen. It means we should go back and look at your marketing efforts in the previous quarter. Were you connecting with your customers? Did you have a marketing plan? Was there certain promotions that you were running that either you didn't run or didn't run well? So there's a lot that goes into this. It's not just about people spending money. Now, if you're coming off of a difficult quarter, here are some things you can do to bounce back and hope and help turn that bad quarter into an opportunity for long-term success. The first is to set specific and measurable objectives. It might not be good enough to simply say we want to make more money this quarter than last quarter. It's likely much more helpful to identify specific and measurable goals and objectives before the quarter begins. So this is something large companies do, and small businesses can learn from the practice of the bigger colleagues. It might make sense to consider your revenue goals to determine where you will focus to meet those increased revenue goals. For example, if your focus would be on finding new customers, or will you launch an effort to increase the average amount your current customers regularly spend? Is it possible that focusing on improving your average review on Yelp and other review sites makes sense? It might be advantageous to set some goals that look into these factors beyond simply focusing on sales or revenue. In addition to helping you take a longer view of your business objectives, it gives you and your employees additional opportunities to win every quarter beyond the important measurements of whether or not you hit your sales numbers, which is good for morale as you shoot for your larger revenue goals. You have to have a laser focus on cash flow. If you're not an accountant or a bookkeeper, going through the process of reviewing your monthly cash flow or other financial reports might not be on the top of the list of things that you look forward to doing each month. However, it can be invigorating and exciting to see sales and revenue increases. It's also important to pay close attention to the money that's going out of your business. Where are your expenses coming from? How much are they? And are they being managed efficiently? For example, if you anticipate several large financial obligations in any particular quarter, it can really put a cramp on your cash flow if you're not prepared. Don't put your business plan in a drawer and forget it. And so many businesses do this. A lot of new business owners sit down and they write a business plan when they first begin thinking about starting a business. It helps them codify what they want to do and determines whether or not they have the resources to be successful. It's also something often required by a traditional lender like the bank when applying for a small business loan. But if those are the only times you consider a business plan valuable, you would be mistaken. A thoughtful business plan should be regularly reviewed and updated. Your business plan is a great tool to help you stay focused on your core objectives and becomes particularly helpful in times of uncertainty, including a lackluster quarter. So an up-to-date business plan at your fingertips will remind you of your larger goals and give you the opportunity to assess your progress as well as show you how far you have left to go. Don't forget, sometimes smaller incremental improvements offer a powerful impact. It's probably natural to react to a bad quarter by making drastic changes to hopefully make a big impact, but it might better serve you to take a longer view and consider bad quarterly results as an opportunity to tweak what you're doing rather than to inspire an overhaul. In fact, a drastic knee-jerk reaction may even create bigger problems down the line. For example, if you change suppliers after a rough quarter and then find the new supplier's materials aren't up to snuff, it could be months before you can rectify the problem, meaning more time and resources lost. Don't forget about your employees. Your employees aren't usually the cause of a bad quarter, but they can be affected by it. And although some business owners try to keep the bad news to themselves, it can be a better strategy to be transparent while taking measures to turn things around. What's more, your employees might even have some suggestions that will help with the challenge. By empowering your employees with a sense of purpose, it's one of the best ways to keep your business a humming, high-performing, and positive-thinking team. You can also incentivize the teams by offering a bonus to see who can bring in the most new customers or who does the best cross-selling of add-on items for the month. Think in terms of those things that will help your bottom line. Make it a game and give the game some structure that will enable outstanding employees to win. Nobody likes to experience a lackluster quarter, but the end of each quarter, whether good or bad, is an opportunity to learn and improve. Ignoring those lessons won't help you grow and might even sink the ship. So those above five suggestions will help you recover quickly from that sinking ship. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When I come back, I'm going to talk to you about why, if you're in business, the learning never ends and why you should refresh your skills and grow your business. We'll be right back.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
You lucky dog, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm so glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano. I'm the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program for the last 8 years. We are taking care of business with Hunterdon Chamber Radio and WHCR-DB. Question for you. As a business owner, do you think you know it all? A lot of times we fool ourselves into thinking that we do know it all. And the fact of the matter is we don't. There's a lot of business owners that I deal with that have a great product or they have a great idea, but they don't know enough about business, paying sales tax, paying payroll, certain other liabilities that they're just not familiar with. And they go in and they say, I'm going to open my own business. I'm going to be my own boss. And then they fall flat. So I think it's important in business that you always be trying to improve yourself, your knowledge base. I've watched several people, either on TV or in real life, that can't read a profit and loss statement. They have no idea what these numbers mean. And yet that's the story of your business. Are you making money? Are you not? Where are you bleeding money? And you can't really fake it till you make it. This is one of those things where if you don't know how to read a profit and loss statement, offer to take your accountant to dinner, offer to take him out for drinks, and have them explain it to you so that you understand what you're looking at. When you see a P&L and you're comparing it to last year, how are you doing? You know, that's the snapshot of your business. So courses can help refresh your skills and they can grow your business. Now, being a busy business owner is no excuse to stop learning, but you can hit the virtual books with these courses. Now, learning something new doesn't have to be just for kids. As a business owner, you can always get inspired to learn a new skill or brush up on existing ones or give you a competitive edge. The good news is there are online classes available to fit every schedule, budget, and need. So here are a few ideas that can help refresh your skills and grow your business. And just as a personal example, I have one large format printer in my business, and it crashed this week because of a Windows update. Called tech support, they weren't really helpful. Called tech support for another company, they weren't very helpful. I literally said, okay, the only way I'm going to fix this thing is I got to do it myself. I went on YouTube and I Googled how to, you know, what are the settings for the Mamaki CJV-130? And there were videos there that I watched and learned, and I was like, wow, this is great. You know, I only wanted to watch one video. I ended up watching about 10, but now I think I'm a better large format printer as a result. So some of the things that you can do to help your business is to boost your creativity. Brushing up on soft skill like communications, creativity, or adaptability is an investment that works, and these skills never go out of style. So to boost your creativity, flex your creative muscles with this with an interactive class offering guided hands-on exercises like Creativity Boot Camp. You can boost your problem-solving and ideal-generating skills with creative thinking, techniques, and tools for success. Trust me, there are a million different online programs, online seminars you can take, most of which don't cost money, that you can just start looking into. Go to some of the TED, listen to some of the TED Talks. Go to the seminar that's being, or the lecture that's being held by Graham Stedman on November 12th. Anything you can do to help yourself learn and be a better person, better leader is great. You can think about design thinking. Closely related to creativity, design thinking has become de rigueur for innovators. The practice helps you reimagine your business and mission by focusing on the customer and challenging long-held assumptions. To better design for your customers, you may want to look at things like helping you make a better work culture. Whether it's an off-site day or office pinball machine, creating culture costs money. So fund it with solutions that are going to make sense for your business. Design thinking originated at IDEO, so you may want to look at their website with Insights for Innovation and get the tools you need to become an innovative thinker with Design Thinking for Innovation, which was published by the University of Virginia. The next one is very important, regardless of what business you're in, and that is effective communication. Persuasion is another soft skill that can help lead to success. So make sure you're communicating your message effectively and crafting your right story. And to polish your presentation skills, you can look to motivate audiences with solid arguments and moving language with Speaking to Persuade, motivating audiences with solid arguments and moving language. There's a 30-minute class by marketing guru Simon Sinek called The Presentation Essentials, How to Share Ideas That Inspire Action. I was giving some speeches a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to knock it out of the park. And a lot of times when you're the guest speaker, you start with a couple of jokes. You start with, hey, how's everybody doing? Hey, you know. And I realized that was probably my biggest mistake. And then when I came in and talked, I started right in on my – I didn't say, hi, how you doing? I didn't say, it's so great to be here. We'll get to that part later. I wanted to hit them from word one with a powerful statement that got them thinking from the get-go. And I did it, and when you could see everybody in the room kind of like sit up in their chairs, like, whoa, this guy's like – going right at it. We're not sloughing off. People were putting down their cell phones, and at that point, I had them. You also want to tackle tech. Simple soft skills are great, but with the technology changing so rapidly, business owners ignore new tech trends at their peril. Artificial intelligence, blockchain, and other technologies are transforming every industry. So to tackle tech, you want to learn key concepts and coding skills with complete data science training, mathematics, statistics, Python, advanced statistics in Python, machine and deep learning, and learn about the hot trend with blockchain technologies in business innovation and application, which is from the MIT Sloan School of Management. As a business owner, you can always get inspired to learn a new skill or brush up on existing ones to give you a competitive edge. One you should not overlook is digital marketing. There's no way around it. Digital marketing is key to your company's success, and it pays to become fluent in SEO, social media, marketing, and analytics. So to cover digital marketing, very simply, cover the basis from market research and email marketing with the Complete Digital Marketing course from Udemy. Inbound marketing is the art of drawing customers to your brand. Get the scoop with inbound certification course from the HubSpot Academy. And, of course, in people skills, the workforce is changing. The demographics of your coworkers are changing, and that demands new skills. So to polish up on your people skills, bring out the best in your staff with managing people, understanding individual differences, and what you don't know can hurt you, so tackle unconscious bias in the workplace with Unconscious Bias, an article written by Google. What are you waiting for? You got some virtual books to start reading. These are the types of things that you want to improve upon, but if you see a weakness in yourself, by all means, there's a solution out there. Make sure you start looking. And it's easy to do, but carve out 15 minutes a day to improve yourself. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Astros and Nationals played Game 7 of the World Series last night, and the Washington Nationals defeated the Astros by the score of 6-2 to become World Series champions for 2019, the first in that franchise's history. Also in Major League Baseball news, Joe Girardi was hired as the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies over the last few days. In NASCAR news, New Jersey's own Martin Truex Jr. won last week's first Daytona 500. To clinch his spot in the Championship Four in Homestead in 3 weeks. This week, the teams head to Texas Motor Speedway for the AAA Texas 500 Sunday at 3 p.m. on NBCSN. And in NCAA football, LSU has replaced Alabama atop the AP Top 25 poll. Alabama is now second, followed by Ohio State, Clemson, and Penn State. Florida, Oregon, Georgia, Utah, and Oklahoma round out the top 10. Rutgers will play Illinois this weekend. Penn State is idle. In the NFL, the Giants take on the Cowboys Monday night. The Eagles play the Bears Sunday at 1, and the Jets play the Dolphins at 1 p.m. on Sunday as well. The NHL and NBA regular seasons are both underway at this time. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father that has guided me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better. and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And for more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The teachers union in Chicago has approved a tentative labor agreement. However, kids are still not back in their classrooms today. That after Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot refused to grant the striking teachers' demands to add school days to make up for 2 weeks of classes canceled by the walkout.
Tonight, I'm gravely disappointed that the CTU has declined to end the strike and assure children are back in their classrooms tomorrow.
Days after UAW workers go back to work at General Motors, Ford and the UAW have just reached a deal that's apparently going to prevent a strike.
The celebration is on! The Washington Nationals are the world champions!
Charlie Slows is heard on DC's The Fan, the Nationals beating the Astros in Game 7 to win their first ever series. And this is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
Wildfires are still scorching California, north and south. In Northern California, the Kincaid Fire is finally about 45% contained. Cal Fire spokesman Tom Porter says it is still just only a wake-up call to just how bad this fire season's probably going to be.
We've had a long and slow season thus far before all of this, and this has been kind of the point at which we've really turned on our season.
The first formal vote on an impeachment investigation in the U.S. House is going to happen shortly on Capitol Hill, as the U.S. House Rules Committee did pass a resolution late last night that includes the establishment of procedures for the investigation, including public hearings. Republicans offered up a slew of amendments. Democrats shot most of them down. The Labor Department reporting first-time claims for jobless benefits rose to 218,000 last week, 5,000 more than the previous week. And this is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Cuba Gooding Jr. due in a Manhattan courtroom in a little while to face new charges in his sexual misconduct case. Prosecutors say they've heard from at least a dozen additional women who now say the Academy Award winner either sexually harassed or touched them. He's denying all of the allegations. Sony says its online cable alternative PlayStation View is shutting down in January. Why? Well, here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The company blames the move on the high cost of content and the difficulty of network deals. View was launched in 2015 as a cheaper version of cable or satellite TV. It was a test case for a TV alternative alongside Dish's Sling TV and later a slew of copycats from DirecTV, Google, Hulu, and others. But customer growth has slowed and even dropped for many of those services as prices rose and they added more channels. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.